Merry Christmas from Cultivating Hearts Radio. We're back in the studio with Grant, Tara's son, and Dalton, Grant's friend, and Miss Tara and myself, Sandy. We are in James 5, and we're trying to continue on in 7 through 20. And last time we talked a lot about patience, which I frowned because I'm like, oh my goodness, honey, it's always worked on that one. But we also talked about the only certainty we have in life is God's presence with us right now, and that he's always near, and the future that we know that he's coming to get us.
It's so good. Isn't it so good? It's so nice having you guys here. Thanks for coming in. So we're going to have Grant start us off with reading James 5 through 7 through 20, and then we'll dive right in.
Okay. This is the Holman version. Therefore, brothers, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, because the Lord's coming is near. Brothers, do not complain about one another, so that you will not be judged. Look, the judge stands at the door. Brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the Lord's name as an example of suffering and patience. See, we count as blessed those who have endured. You have heard of Job's endurance and have seen the outcomes from the Lord. The Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Now above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. Your yes must be yes, and your no must be no, so that you won't fall under judgment. Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church, and they should pray over him after anointing him with olive oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will restore him to health. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, yet he prayed earnestly that it would not rain for 3 years and 6 months. It did not rain on the land. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced its fruit. My brothers, if any among you strays from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his life from death and cover a multitude of sins.
That's so beautiful. And it's so much fun. I don't think people realize how amazing it is to take a passage of scripture and to read it over and over in a short period of time. Because today, I think already, I have gone through this passage at least 7 times already, because of the time that I did it in preparation for before the show, but then also what we've been doing within the show. And each time how something all of a sudden just, oh, wow, you know, how beautiful the Word of God is and how it is just constantly giving forth information. So we were talking last time about the diaspora and that they are all over the place because of the persecution that's happened, and that these are the last final statements James wanted them to have in their heart. He wanted them to take this in their heart. And we had talked last time about, he says, be patient, be patient, be patient. And this time we were going to look at, we started to end last time on considering who he asked them to consider. And so we're going to focus in on the different people groups he wanted them to consider. Can you guys recall which ones he wants them to consider? Do you remember, or do you want me to tell you? It says consider the
farmer.
The farmer.
And prophets.
The prophets.
And Job.
Job. And the very last one is Elijah. At the very end of the letter, he reminds them of Elijah. Okay. We kind of hinted a little bit at the farmer, but we'll reiterate for in case somebody's listening to this podcast, broadcast for the first time. Why the farmer?
Because it gives a very nice analogy of being patient on the Lord, because a farmer has to wait on the Lord to grow the crop. Like, the farmer can plant it and do what he needs to do, but God's going to grow the crop.
Okay. Why do you think he said the prophets?
That's a good question.
That's a good question. All right, think through the prophets.
Job had a lot of patience.
Well, he says the prophets and Job, and but Job, let's do the prophets first. Okay. Let's do the prophets first.
In many cases, I mean, prophets, like, were persecuted. I mean, like, just take Jeremiah, for example. So Jeremiah was, like, no one believed him. No one would listen to him. Everyone thought he was, like, crazy and that he was didn't know what he was talking about. He was thrown in prison. I mean, he's known as, like, I mean, he wrote a whole book, Lamentations, where he's just like crying and upset about, you know, Israel's unrepentance and everything. And so like that just shows like he had to have patience, and like you can see patience all throughout his life, and he's just one of many examples. I mean,
right. And so the prophets, they were the people that gave the messages of God. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes a prophet is not accepted because the message is not easy. The message is you need to repent and turn to God. And so people fight against that. So prophets often dealt with people that were very harsh mm-hmm. towards the message they were giving. And think on even Jesus as the ultimate teacher, and how he told the disciples in Matthew 10 and in Mark 10 when he sent them out in twos, and he goes, be surprised when they reject you as my messenger, because they have rejected me, so they will also reject you. And so by reflecting on the patient endurance that a person who is giving the word of God must endure, helps them to remember that in the circumstances they are in, the people may not want to hear what you have to say. The people may not appreciate and value the principles and the values that you have, but you need to be patient with them because you are the one that is giving them the message of God. And oftentimes I think what can happen is we get angry and frustrated because the people are rejecting the message. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to be a part of it. And so we will get frustrated and at times even angry at the very ones we're trying to reach. And what can happen, I think, very easily is that we can become what we would call a Christian in a bubble. And so we just try to stay in a world where we only are with people that will accept and receive what we have to say, and we're never really actually going out and reaching the people we're called to reach. So he's telling them, be patient. Come on. You've got to consider, yes, the farmer has to be patient. Things, the circumstances are beyond your control. But look, the prophets persevered, and because of that, you now know. You need that same kind of perseverance for the people that you're called to reach. Okay, now let's go to Job, because each one represents a different type of perseverance. What was Job's circumstance?
We lost everything. You know, and his friends were not very kind to him. You know, and even his wife told him to turn his back on God.
Ooh.
No, yeah, it takes a lot of patience to be able to have, like, just be in such an awful situation like he was, and then have everybody around you being like, okay, like, just give up God. Just, like, curse mm-hmm. him and be done with it. Like,
and then add boils on top of that.
Yeah. So it's like all of that.
How
but
much
then
more can
still,
I add?
He's still like, I'm going to be like patient on the Lord. Like, this is the Lord's plan. Like, I'm still going to believe in him.
Yeah. And they even right. believed he sinned against God. Mm-hmm. You know, they were telling him that, and he knew he hadn't.
Right.
You know, so.
Oh, okay. So we've had the farmers that they did their part. They did their job. But there were things that they had to leave to God. We have the prophets were the communicators to give the message of God. And they were persecuted and ridiculed and often killed. Remember them. Be patient like them. Remember Job. Job was a righteous man. Mm-hmm. Everything was taken from Job. Everything was destroyed. His family was taken, his children, and his body illness, and his friends reject him, and his wife was telling him to reject God, yet he persevered, and he honored God.
Which, thinking about it, like, at first, when, like, reading through this, I was like, okay, like, farmer, good analogy, prophets, you know, Bible stuff, but then you're like, Job, and you're like, okay, well, why is, like, I mean, it's an example, but, like, why is that the one used here? But if you think about it, like, that's the one that they're going to identify with the most because of the whole diaspora.
Yeah.
Because of all of the awful things they're going through. They're like, oh, Job went through all of those awful things.
Right.
Plus, like, another word for patience is, like, long-suffering.
Yeah.
And even just thinking about the word, like, long-suffering. You suffer long. And it's, like, trusting God through that. And I feel like, the majority of Job is, like, him, like, even through, like, his all of his property getting, like, stolen or destroyed and his kids getting killed. Like, he's still, like, he has long-suffering. He suffers through and he's, like, doesn't curse God and everything like everyone wants him to. So, mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to have to just bless on Dalton here, because that is the word macrothumia. And when we were done with this list, we were going to actually go into that. And so look at how God's at work in Dalton. Dalton, how old are you?
I am 19.
Oh my goodness. I love it. Doesn't that bless you that
he
is
all the peeps that come here, just, I'm just... Wow.
I know. These people, they make me so happy. So, guys, I'm going to add on to his, and then I want you to think on, okay, so for a person to have macrothumia, to be long-suffering, to be patient, means that they can't, they may have frustration. The feeling of frustration is real. They may have anger. The feeling of anger is real. But it's how they respond and what they do with it. And it's a choice that they have made not to do something with it, okay? And so huge. We have to understand that. So the feelings are going to be there, but it's what we do with those feelings and the outcomes. And that's the reason why he started with patience, be patient, because he's wanting them to think on that. Then the next thing he gives to them is a command. He says, take courage. And that is the Greek word tharseo, which means to take heart. So do you see how he's getting them to think through their thinking and then to deal with their heart? And when those are right, then the outcomes of the right behavior will follow. And so if you go back to the last show and listen, Dalton had talked about that you have to go through prayer and seeking God, and Grant had talked about how you have to take into consideration the people and reason through that. These guys are amazing. Ladies, you should contact me. Anyhow, Liberty University and University of Nebraska, Omaha. So much fun. That was kind of funny. Sorry, boys. I just made them both go red. These are my sons, y'all. Okay, so this is so much fun. Thinking through that, the next thing that we need to consider is he says to consider Elijah. So the farmer who perseveres in planting and things don't go right. We have the prophet who's proclaiming the message. Job, who's considered righteous and everything goes wrong. Why Elijah?
Well, his heart was in tune with God. And he prayed earnestly.
He did.
He
called down fire from heaven and 600 prophets of Baal, which would be, you know, those that are not of God, and slayed them. And yet when one little woman went after him, he was so afraid, he ran and hid in a cave.
That's funny.
And God went to him and said,
excuse me.
What are you doing here? And but he was afraid that he was the only one left. And God said, no, you're not. I have over, I think it was like 6,000, he said.
Remember.
Something like that. Prophets still out there that believe. God wants us to look at Elijah, because there comes a point in time we can do the high and holy thing for God and yet still hit a really, really low. And in fact, I will dare to say that oftentimes when we do hit a high, holy moment, we will hit a very low. And God said to him, no, you are not the only one. Get up and get out there and do what I've called you to do. And he did.
There's that fear. Yeah.
And so we can't cave into that. And God's wanting us to see that perseverance, that even when that low hits, we have to get out and get going. Isn't it amazing how James had each of these in his letter at the end for them to reflect on? Because these are the things that they would have immediately thought of in the context of what they knew of them as they taught. It's a good thing for us to reflect on, isn't it? So three times, be patient, and now take heart. And then he says to consider them, a reminder that Jesus is returning and he's coming near. Then he takes them to the next item, and this is where it's going to hit you guys. Do not grumble. About what?
Each other.
Ouch. What? Why? That person makes me so stinking mad. Or this circumstance makes me so hot. Oh, God, forgive me. It is very easy for us to fall into grumbling.
Uh-huh.
Does grumbling build into the circumstance at all?
No.
What do you mean by build?
Like that, when you build something, does it help it? No, it doesn't.
It makes it worse.
It makes it worse. So here's the cool thing. I found two things I wanted to share. One, Grumble is the word stenazo. And it's literally, I want y'all to hear this. Okay, so the word grumble in verse 9 is stenazo, and it's used elsewhere for similar situations in the Bible. Paul talks about creation as groaning, with the anticipation of God's final redemption about our own groaning, that we are looking forward to our heavenly home. So the reminder that Jesus is coming and he is near, okay? And that's Romans 8 and 2 Corinthians 5. It's the same word that's translated grumbling in James, which is a deep longing for a better future. But when we turn it against one another, it becomes toxic. So when we groan for the kingdom of God, for God's return, when we are groaning for God stuff, it is a an anticipation that's a beautiful thing. But when we turn our groaning to where it is a grumble and a complaint against one another, it becomes toxic. And so whenever I grumble against another or grumble against a circumstance, I have to remember I am then introducing toxins, that which is not of God, into me. I'm tearing it down. And I think the reason is you'd say, Scripture, he says, he who does to the least of these so also does to me. Mm-hmm. And so when I am grumbling against another, I'm grumbling against God. And the spirit of grumbling never builds. And so that's the reason why the Israelites were required to stay in the wilderness. And I've often wondered, how long did God allow me to stay in a circumstance? Because he wanted to teach me to get rid of my grumbling and complaining and to focus in on him. And so really allowing that this one to do its thing in us. And if we add in the macrothumia of being patient, that I am to be long-suffering, if I add in the grumble, I'm no longer into the patience. But if I am long-suffering towards the kingdom of God, then my groaning will be for God's things. And then it's okay if my groaning is, God, this hurts because I want to see your kingdomness, but it's not an attack on an individual. And it makes me have a better relationship with those around me as I'm serving. It really changes your mindset. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it can only be done by God doing it. You've got to come back next week. Thank you for listening to Cultivating Hearts. God bless.